Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Good morning. Today, the 11th of August, 7:05 in the morning, news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community. That's Shasta Regional Medical Center. Liam's at the helm. Liam, so quit turning the FM off.
I wish it was that simple.
Yeah, well, So what national day is it today?
It is Global Kinetic Sand Day, actually.
I don't even know what that is.
What? Ugh. When I was growing up, it was a big thing.
Okay. It's like when you were growing up?
When I was,
you're 18 years old.
I guess not. When I was, like, really little, it was a thing.
Okay. Got it.
Sandbox. Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's Thursday morning. It's 63 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 96 and a low of 65, another kind of balmy day as opposed to what we've been having. Tomorrow we're looking for hot again, 98 and a low of 88, and by Saturday, 101, a low of 68. Sunday, 103, a low of 70, and on Monday, 106 and a low of 73, and on Tuesday, 107. So we're just going to kind of have another one of those.
Have another one of those weeks.
Another one of those weeks. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
In case you were wondering why we were off the air, as I was, when I get up in the morning and I got into the truck and coming down and I had 1460 rolling, and then 96.5 wasn't. So I call Pat. No matter what time it is, I call Pat. Mm-hmm. And he's already here. And as it turns out, it was a rocketfish power source that just quit. And when it quit, it took out the satellites and all types of things. But we just located that, and we're running extension cords, and we're getting another one of those out and sticking it in right now. So
we'll be back on FM.
We're on now.
Okay,
now.
Good.
See, local shows were fine with it.
The FM.
And because we're not running off satellites or feeds. So we're okay. And by the time we get to Armstrong and Getty, we're fine.
Perfect.
Okay. With us is Joshua Johnson. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And Joshua is a candidate for Reading City Council. And in fact, you're the first one we've had on. We're going to have everybody on. Seems like there's a number of people running this time that we know of.
I was actually on with Linda. You were out of town on assignment, and I came on, and we had a great conversation that day. It was a few months ago.
Oh, a few months ago. Mm-hmm. Okay.
About your business as opposed to city council?
No, it was mostly about city council. We talked a little bit about some of the development projects, neighborhood that we're building and some things like that, but it was mostly about city council.
Okay.
Well, I stand corrected then. So tell us who Joshua Johnson is.
Yeah, I am I'm a local business owner here, raising four daughters in this beautiful city, and I'm a realtor as well as running for city council because I believe that we are in a once-in-a-lifetime moment where we are growing and we need to grow thoughtfully. And we are seeing an influx of capital from the state and from local investors, people that are taking big risks in our city and trying to build retail and restaurants and other types of things. And so I think that, we are in a time when we need people on city council that can see that growth and get out ahead of it and help design it with the community input that we need. Because it's a really important time. We've grown like this about four times in the last 100 or so years.
Uh-huh.
And this is one of them. And so I think it's a really important time. That's why I'm jumping in.
I think you're right. I think the last huge big growth was a period some 30 years ago when they did a whole lot of reaching out and expanding and extending and reaching the city limits of Reading out to a lot of areas that they had not been before. And it's been taking them all this time to actually start being able to provide services to those areas where they reached out and planted.
Right. We are 60 to 70 square miles.
You're larger than the incorporated city of San Francisco.
Right. We don't need to grow in landmass anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Are you for, industry coming in?
Absolutely. We need jobs. We need, and we need diversity of those jobs. And we're starting to see it a little bit. One of the biggest exports that I see growing just amongst the community is remote work. It's actually, I consider it an export because it's money coming in from outside the area. It's paying people that are inside this area, and that's new dollars that are able to circulate in our community, which helps our restaurants and our retail establishments. And so that plus what the EDC is doing to help attract new industries is absolutely what we need.
Well, so what would you do to do that?
Well, I think what we're continuing to do, we need to keep sending a message that we're business friendly. We need to keep sending a message through our ordinances, through the way the city council uses their platform, and also the way the city enforces the current laws to show the business community that we are for them, that we want them to thrive, which also then trickles down to people who are paying their mortgages here and making a living here and raising their kids here. So we need to be doing all of those things, and they all interconnect. The way that we collaborate and open doors of collaboration with the county on some of the issues where they overlap in our city, for instance, the jail, we have to be a participant at the table to solve these problems together. No one person is going to do it. So I think it's a really important time to have the right leadership that can see what we need the next 20, 30 years and move that direction.
I think that's important, and I think the collaboration that you mentioned is important not only between the county but between the other two cities, specifically when we talk about fire and police protection and those kind of things where we're all playing on the same page, because issues that arise, because the city of Redding is the capital of the county, if
right.
you will, as the county seat, so it whatever the other two cities do have a huge impact on the city of Redding.
Yeah, absolutely. And our problems spill over on one another's territories. You know, there's no this invisible wall. It's not like a smoking section in a...
We just had an example of that on a police chase.
Right. Well, you remember the smoking sections in, restaurants.
How about airplanes?
Oh, I still remember that. I was on the board that
did
the smoking.
You don't remember it in airplanes. If you were in row 14, it was non-smoking. If you were row 15, it was smoking.
But it stopped at 14, so they don't have to worry about
it. We're here with Joshua Johnson, who's running for Redding City Council. We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to talk about Trisha's bed. Hey, did you know if kids get 10 hours of sleep, that will do the trick? Too little sleep impairs their little minds to learn new information, which can affect concentration and schoolwork. Tweens and teens need 9 to 10 hours of rest each night. Parents need 7 to 9 hours of sleep per night. And the Sleep IQ sleepers with kids attain an average of 30 minutes more restful sleep during the weekends compared to weekdays. So, you've had a
sleep I've had a sleep number bed for a long time. 20 years. My sleep number is about 55, but it changes depending upon what I've been doing. And you're right. You need 8 hours of sleep, and you get it comfortably and smoothly on your sleep number bed.
Yeah, and our sleep number setting, my sleep number setting is 75, and Linda's is 35. It shows you that we sleep in the same bed, but yet we don't have to
you can both
compromise.
Have, yeah.
We compromise. Everybody, marriage is a compromise, but we don't have to compromise on our bed. So why choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because every great day starts the night before. And now it's time for Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, when all smart beds are on sale. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed for a limited time. Only at our Sleep Number store, and well, it's all over every Sleep Number store, but our Sleep Number store is in the Target Shopping Center over there. Great people. Go in and talk to them. Learn more at sleepnumber.com. We'll be right back.
Right. Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
I'm Tracy Edwards, CEO of the Redding Rancheria. Giving back to our local community is a tradition that is firmly rooted in our history.
Axiom Repertory Theater wants to thank the Rancheria for their generous grant to help support the arts and our theater in the community. Thank you so much for being a wonderful partner.
Hey, from all of us at Riddick Sports Club, we want to thank Redding Rancheria for all that you guys do for the community and for helping us out. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Redding Rancheria, proud to play our part.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they're cheaper online.
No, business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Hey, KCNR listeners, it's Nathan with the Reading Civic Auditorium. Have you been to ReadingCivic.com lately? I want to shout out huge thanks to all of our patrons throughout the North State who buy tickets to our shows and attend the valuable community events that happen in the auditorium every year. These past 10 years of momentum have been absolutely incredible. Thanks to all of you. Your support and confidence in Advance Reading has made the impossible possible. As a community who knows how to pull together and show ourselves strong, we have successfully attracted high-quality entertainers and major concert promoters back into the building and put your Reading Civic Auditorium on the map once again. Arts and entertainment culture is thriving, and we have much to celebrate. Never miss a show again. Visit ReadingCivic.com and sign up for our emails for exclusive pre-sale access. We have an unbelievable lineup with new shows being added all the time. Hit ReadingCivic.com today. You'll be glad you did. Shows are always more fun at the Civic.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Good morning, everybody. It's 7:18 in the morning. It's about 65 degrees out there, and it's going up to 100?
No, it's only going to be 96 today.
96 today. Oh, balmy.
Just balmy. Absolutely.
I should have worn my long sleeve shirt.
I should have brought a coat.
Yep. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, one of the nation's top 50 cardiovascular hospitals. The only hospital with the Da Vinci Xi surgical robotic system. It means minimally invasive surgery with an advanced set of instruments, less pain, reduced risk, and faster recovery times at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Healing starts here. We're here with Joshua Johnson, who is running for city council. And he's a businessman, and he wants to see more business come in. One of the things that I've heard continuously for 13 years... is the permitting problems that we have. Have you, I mean, you're a developer.
Yeah.
You probably have run into this.
Yeah.
The cost of getting a $30,000 here, I mean, it's over $100,000 before you even start the construction of a home.
Yeah.
What do you plan? Are you planning on doing anything about this?
Well, I'm going to do my best. I think the staffing problems are an issue. I believe that what Jeremy's doing in development services is moving in the right direction. I think he's doing a great job. We have some people that are working very hard. We are understaffed. We're running thin. But there are some things that we can do to streamline it. A new software platform is rolling out that is going to help with our permitting process where it can go paperless eventually. I've heard that this is coming down. I haven't used it yet. But there are other cities that have done that. There are some over-the-counter applications that we should be able to do online now. Eventually it'll go to residential, new construction, and last would probably be commercial because of how complicated it is.
What does that do to lessen the cost of permits?
There is a process that happens. Oftentimes you come to the table thinking you have everything you need for the applicant for your permit, and you have to go print three more copies or do this sort of thing. So it takes you away. You got to go back and get it and come back. If there is a platform with a checklist of everything, you're uploading those files, it streamlines that, takes that away from the staff having to do it.
Well, I understand that part, but you shouldn't be. If you go in there, I'm building a house.
Yep.
They should give you a stack of this is what you need. I mean, it's not like their first rodeo.
Yeah.
And yet it keeps happening. And then
fill that out and you bring it back, and then they say, yeah,
now we need this. I mean,
right.
That just keeps adding to the cost.
Some of the things that actually it adds a little bit to the time and the frustration probably that most people feel. Even the professionals I work with architects and engineers, sometimes they're surprised by the comments that come back sometimes. The city is doing, you know, I think it's a conversation of city liability versus, an engineer's stamp. And how much does the city need to really get involved when you've got an engineer with liability insurance and putting a stamp on something? If you're paying a professional.
Well, I thought they did away with the engineer in the planning department.
That's not my experience. Right now there's an engineer there that we work with.
Yeah, see, and that was something that I thought that they were doing away with because just like you said, you've got engineers with state licenses and insurance, and they're putting it in, and yet our engineers were looking at it and disagreeing with them.
Yeah. Well, there's some areas where I think we could definitely improve on speed. For instance, solar. We're required in new construction to put solar on houses, but it takes an amazing amount of time to submit an application and get it back for solar for something that's pretty cookie cutter, pretty basic. And
is that at the city or the state?
It's actually REU. Well, the state requires it. It's a mandate for Title 24 as a part of their kind of getting to net zero housing and energy use. So we put solar on. We have to put an application in, but it takes a really long time. And I think we can streamline that way better. It's pretty archaic, I think, the way we have to
do it. I think that being able to upload documents like they did at the sheriff's office for the concealed carry, it just everything went in and it was you didn't have to go down there three times. So I agree with you about that. But the cost of the permit,
that's
not necessarily tied just to that paperwork. This is an arbitrary number.
And one of the things,
the city council.
One of the things you mentioned is that you're understaffed, so you're going to be adding more staff. Staff always means higher costs, and the cost of the permit has to cover the cost of the planning department. If you add more staff, isn't that going to increase the cost of the permits?
We've had more staff before. We've lost good staff. When we had Larry Vopple here, I felt like during that time processes were very smooth. There were some things that were there, but I know that we've had challenges with retention. We've had challenges with retirement, just natural attrition to retirement. These are things that every organization is going to face, and we're in a time of facing with transition from people that have been here for many years doing great work for our city and then moving on, and then now we need to recruit new ones. But we need qualified people across the town, the counter, too, so that takes training, that all takes time, that takes money. I believe that we have the ability to streamline that. It's not going to be overnight, but I do think going more digital is one step in relieving staff. You know, right now they shut the doors at 3 p.m. At the permit center because they need time to like go do their work because they can't handle the over the counter stuff. That wasn't the way it was two years ago. You're able to go 9 to 5 and see someone there. There was enough staff to handle it.
So I'm hearing that you think that they're handling this what's different about electing you? What difference are we going to see than if we elect or keep the people that are already there?
Well, I mean, so handling it is one thing. I think getting actual input from a user like myself when staff is making a proposal about how to handle it. So there's like a what and then a how. The how is really important. How will real people be affected by the decisions they're making to make it more streamlined? And I think the fact that I've been a user, I've gone through the red tape, gone through a process from start to finish, ground up, through every department I've worked with over there. I know them by name, I have relationships with them, and I think I could collaborate to help, you know, be an advocate for a solution that helps everybody in our city.
Okay. Well, that makes, you know, that to me kind of makes sense, that you've gone through that process so you can tell them this isn't work. Or this needs to be fixed. It's just something I've heard constantly for 13 years. Yep. And by the way, it's not just you; it's also the county.
It really is.
It is.
It has been a continual
problem.
And
every one of the people running, say the same thing.
I would say this: I'm very, very much a fan of building in the county or in the city. I've done projects in the county. The county's great. We worked with them. But I prefer the city. I do think, by and large, we have people over there that want to collaborate with you, want to help you get your project through. We just need more people in the planning department where they're not stretched too thin, so they actually can focus on your project.
Would that mean cutting back in other departments? I mean, the city is constantly, and the county is constantly hiring. During COVID, none of them got laid off, even though all the work.
So I don't have the data for you right in front. I think this is a great question for Barry Tippin, but I would suggest that through attrition, we've actually reduced numbers in some departments, and that the numbers we've added in other departments came from other funding sources. But in the departments where we're talking about right now, we have reduced numbers, which means there would, to me, imply there's budget to get those numbers back to where they were. I think we're below par in where we typically
are. You have so many designated positions, and you have less of them filled, but they are already in the budget.
Yeah, they're already being paid for those positions. There's just nobody there.
Right.
Yeah. So, okay. We're here with Joshua Johnson. He's candidate for city council. We're going to take a quick break. This portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. When you finally had enough of the dogs next door biting through your fence, when the government comes in and tells you they're going to force you
go
off your well, and many other things like this, we have River Commons Senior Living. River Commons Senior Living, located at right downtown on Hartnell Avenue, is Northern California's premier retirement community. Beautiful living accommodations, are pet friendly, gourmet chef. They've got it all there. And for, to learn more and even get a personalized tour, give Brian a call at 530-238-5981 and find out why so many people living in River Commons Senior Living, and this is not an assisted living facility, it's for active seniors, worry less, smile more. We'll be right back.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
I'm Max Steiner, the Democratic candidate for Congress here in CD1. I am a combat veteran and a political moderate. I am pro-timber, pro-gun, pro-choice, and pro-America. I am not a typical woke Democrat, and I am not a career politician. My legislative priorities as your representative would cut across party lines. We need to protect the fundamentals of our democracy. We must reduce fire risk by thinning our forests, strengthening the timber industry, and hiring more firefighters. We need to build more dams to reduce the impacts of climate change. We should codify Roe v. Wade into law. Finally, we must ensure security abroad with a strong military and security at home with strong police forces. We need to make big changes in Washington. If we keep voting for the incumbents, nothing will ever change. We need politicians who will put principles over party, politicians who will say no to the far left and the far right. We need politicians who will truly put America first. In November, I would be honored to earn your vote.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
The tradition continues at the Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista, featuring delicious steaks and seafood, chicken soup, salads, and much more. The Dry Creek Station, family-owned and operated, open since 1992, serving dinner Tuesday through Sunday from 5 to 9 p.m. with happy hour from 3 to 5. The Dry Creek Station is famous for their steamer clams. Friday through Sunday, don't miss their fabulous weekend specials. The Dry Creek Station at 22025 Highway 299 East in Bella Vista. So come on down to the Dry Creek Station, where quality and value meet.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
Good morning. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station, your community radio station. It's 7:32 in the morning, and if you're thinking about purchasing an electric car and hopping on that green bandwagon, Reading Electric Utility has rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle in the charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. I saw this, some kind of electric car that had rear-ended another car. Not bad.
Mm-hmm.
But then the fire started in the battery.
Yeah, and do you love this? The signs that have been popping up about the garages that are not allowing electric vehicles to park in their parking garages.
Because of that. Every so often.
Well, that stuff that's just all of a sudden, oh my God, it's on fire and they're tough to put out.
Yep. Okay.
Hey,
we're here with Joshua Johnson. We'll ask him about that.
I'll wait a while before I buy it.
Let's just ask him about that. Candidate for city council and also a developer here in town. What's the name of your business?
Shiloh Capital.
Shiloh.
Yes.
Like the battle?
Yeah. It's spelled the same.
Yeah.
But it's actually...
How did you come up with that?
A Hebrew name that means gift. And we like it. We actually named our... fourth daughter, Shiloh.
I have a great nephew that is called Shiloh.
And then Neil Diamond.
That's right.
The song.
Sure. Yeah.
Hey, we're talking about the city and things. Now, so what's your plan for homelessness?
So my main plan for one of the things I just want to say, I spent a little bit of time at the Neuropon Project down on the river off of Cypress there behind America's Tire.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see firsthand in just a short amount of time, in about an hour, our crisis response team down there doing a phenomenal job with that work down there and the camps that are set up. And they have a tent. And I saw them place probably 4 to 6 people into programs and get them off the street or into medical care, into other things, because of how approachable they are and how professional they are and how, I just think that program is doing really well. So I think the city is doing what it can. The thing that we really need right now is to collaborate with the county and help them get this new long-term facility. There's a short-term. We need beds now. The community feels that. But we need a long-term facility that's strategic and makes sense so that we don't turn up in 10 years needing another long-term plan. We need to think about this well, and we need to move forward with a strategic plan that allows us to grow and scale for the next 50 years. And that allows us to have a misdemeanor facility, allows us to take repeat offenders. See, what they're doing at Downs and Nerpon Project is allowing people who want help before they get too deep into trouble, who want help, to get help now. So those are people who are initiating that themselves, coming up to the officers saying, I need help. How do I sign up? How do I get out of here? How do I, get off of meth? How do I take care of my baby? How do I, all these different things that I witnessed yesterday. But for those who aren't seeking help and maybe are really deep, they've been on the streets a long time, those are sometimes our repeat offenders, crime against property, which is a big thing here. We need a facility that we can use, a misdemeanor facility that we can use to help get them into program and to direct them into some drug rehab, mental health.
You're talking about a jail.
Yes.
Okay,
so let me just point out, when I left the Board of Supervisors 16 years ago, this was exactly the discussion, and we had to have a long-term plan for a jail.
Yep.
And now I hear the same language saying we need a long-term plan that will lift us. What we need is for everybody to get in the room and come up with a plan that we can immediately start building.
Because
it's been 16 years. We can't be 10 years more down the road having that perfect facility that will last us for 50 years.
No, you're absolutely right. And actually, we can start with phases. We need – there is I think we're closer than we've ever been before. I think that Sheriff Johnson has a great vision, but also he's an executor. He's a mover.
Yes, he is.
And he wants to do this, and he's focused on it. So.
And you're in a unique position right now because you have a county executive officer in an interim position that is also an executor and able to put projects together, and he's a doer as well.
I have full faith that the right plan is on the cusp. I do think that getting the right people in the room to do it now is important, key stakeholders, and also hearing from the community, because location matters as well, and the design matters. There are several components we've learned even in the last 10 years about
how
to design these so that it's not a drain on our staff, the county staff, how to design these so that we can actually scale over time. So we just have to apply those designs. We don't have to recreate the wheel. They figured this out in other places.
We got to quit planning and start doing.
Hey, I'm with you.
The problem with elected political groups like city councils and board of supervisors is they can change out every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no continuity.
And the bureaucracy knows that, and sometimes they outlast us.
Well,
and they
course.
Do it on
well,
purpose.
That's it's.
You know the continuity
here,
is you,
I'll
though,
be
Carl.
Here
you know,
after, yeah. Well, I've been hearing the same thing for 13 years.
Yeah.
And I've seen some things change. I've seen Stillwater come to fruition.
Yep.
I've seen more police come in. I've seen more fire.
Yeah.
Personnel coming, because those are easy. Those are relatively easy to do. But when it comes down to planning something, so let's talk about the riverfront. There was an offer on the table from local people here to redevelop the riverfront down there by the Civic Auditorium and the rodeo grounds and all this. The city turned it down, said, we'll do it ourselves. I have no faith at all that the city can do this. This is a huge project.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got people that their whole business is building these things, and
right.
we have part-time city officials who are going to do this. What's your stance on the development of the riverfront?
So I think that the job of government to provide infrastructure and public safety. You know, we're voting on sewers and potholes, a lot of things.
That's right.
And that's important for our community.
Surplus land.
Yeah. So I actually, wrote an article about this on my website, joshuaredding.com, because I was, I definitely wanted to see us get the HCD, which is a state department, the housing department, off of our backs on any property that we thought we might want to discuss in the future. Get that behind us, which is the surplus process. It just was a process. I was hoping they would pass to just go forward with the surplus process.
Declare it surplus. So now you can plan to do with it.
Now you can do something. Now you can even entertain anything. Let the community. We couldn't talk about anything before doing that. It would be illegal. And there's a lot of stuff up in the air with how the HCD was going to enforce, and we saw some things in Anaheim that I think, you know, scared us. So we just kind of as a city, everyone just tightened up and clinched up, and then, you know, and then we just didn't move forward with it. I would have been a fan of us moving forward with it so we can entertain what this could be, so that we can get the community involved in that process. But we couldn't even get there. And so I definitely don't think a specific plan update is going to spur on development in that area. As a developer, a master plan is more specific, ironically, than a specific plan.
Yeah.
And that's what we need. And I think letting someone else
But isn't that million plus that they're taking, isn't that to update the general plan?
That's to update the specific plan.
Oh, it's update the specific
1.25, plan. I believe.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. One of the statements that I heard from some elected officials and some others that maybe misunderstood this process, and not being a developer, you might not know this, but the city never loses control of a property it sells. And here's why. A developer can't do whatever they want on a property. Because the city is providing services, there's something called a development agreement that you have to sign, and the city puts in that development agreement what it desires for the developer to do.
You can only build this.
Yes, you have to provide this. You have to build this. You have to put this street light in. You have to do this, and you have to make sure this much is for parks and this much is for this. And the developer, if they wanted to say you have to hand out popsicles on Friday, you got to hand out popsicles on Friday. I mean, the city has so much control because they're providing, you know, much needed sewer and water and electric and all these services that are important. So
they're not going to get into a pissing contest with the city. Because the city will just turn off something.
Well, yeah.
I mean, it could get down to that.
Really,
point.
Usually
but
what happens
won't.
Is a lot of negotiation back and forth about what's fair. And I do think that it is, as a developer, you're kind of trying to figure out, okay, well, what if we design it this way? Would that help? Can we do it like this? Because, you know, the city also doesn't know oftentimes like exactly how much things cost in the market at that moment when they're asking for things. So they're usually going back and forth a little bit to try and figure out the right design. But it is very collaborative.
So did you would you agree to selling that land then to the developers?
So I would.
Because that's what they need, according to them. They need to own that land so they can make all the improvements, get all the loans, and put in a 50-year lease on it.
So let me say this. If we want to see development on that property and in that area, and if that feels like the low-hanging fruit to move forward as opposed to other parts of Park Marina that have been stalled for many, many years, if that is the area where we as a community say, you know, we would like to see that happen, it is very difficult to do that without title ownership.
You declare it surplus. People are not going to give you something.
No,
after it's been declared surplus,
if the
borrower who is getting financing from many different sources, whether a combination of state financing with private financing, bank financing, you name it, equity financing, without named title ownership, it is so difficult to raise that funding. Almost near impossible unless you're in some area where, you know, it's, you know, you've got millions of people. It's going to be almost impossible to get a project like that off the ground. Too much risk.
So it entails the selling of the land.
Yeah.
So, okay. We're here with Joshua Johnson, who would support that, from what it sounds like.
I would support entertaining those plans so that we can at least see what can be possible and then going from there.
Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. You're not getting treatment for a work-related injury because of denials or other reasons. Give Patrick a call at 530-262-2168 for a free consultation. The insurance companies have lots of lawyers, and Patrick Gorman is a true expert when it comes to workers' compensation. Not only that, he is a veteran. He's a former law enforcement officer. He's the kind of guy you want out there fighting for you. So give Patrick Gorman a call at 530-262-2168 today. We'll be right back.
I see. At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency, when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
Your story begins here. Voted 2021 Best in the North State to hold a work event. Book your event and let Wind River Resort and Casino make your dreams a reality. From our experienced staff, full setup and cleanup, on-site catering, full-service spa, luxurious hotel, and certified wedding and event planner. Come see what we have to offer. We guarantee you'll be amazed. 530-339-7454 or visit windriver.com. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
Have you just received your Starlink? Congratulations! Do you need help installing it? Look no further than your local satellite professionals. That's right, BT Satellite. Call Doug and the whole team to set up your Starlink with the same customer service you've come to know. BT Satellite will set up your Starlink and work with you to make the experience a pleasure for you. Call today and set up your time to install the new Starlink. You know, don't call the 800 number. Call 241-3474. That's BT Satellite, 241-3474. While temperatures are heating up outside, cool down as you stroll through Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson. If you're searching for a unique gift for a wedding, anniversary, or special occasion, Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage may have exactly what you're looking for. They have tumblers, goblets, plates, teacups, and saucers, silverware, jewelry, and jewelry boxes, necklaces, earrings, elegant pins, rings, cufflinks, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Center in Anderson.
Hey everyone, Kevin Cry here. I'd like to invite you to listen to my new radio show every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We'll be talking about everything Shasta County, family, work, recreation, and the topics most important to all of us living here in the Great North State. We'll have roundtable discussions and different guests every week to share with all of you what is going on in Shasta County. Join me, Kevin Cry, every Tuesday right here from 6 to 7 p.m. Looking forward to seeing you soon.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. 7:48 in the morning here on the 11th of August, getting up close to 70, going up to 93 today. Or is it 96?
96.
Oh, okay. Well, we're creeping back up,
just
my friends.
Ball me.
We're here with Joshua Johnson, who is a candidate for city council. And the reason that he called me, and not that I wasn't going to try to reach out to everybody, was short-term rentals. When I found out through a piece of paper, he wanted to have a short-term rental next door. And I thought, well, wait a minute. Do I have anything to say about it? I bought a house in a single-family neighborhood. It's zoned that way. I've been paying my taxes there for 15 years. And when I called, it appears that, no, I don't. So when I called my city council, and they responded by saying, you know what, we need to update this thing. So the first week we went there, and a number of us who had problems with having a short-term rental, a VRBO, plunked down in your neighborhood, which kind of takes away the integrity of the neighborhood.
How do you feel about that, Carl?
Well, everybody knows how I feel about it. Well, then the next meeting, all the all the people that were in favor of it showed up. So it was bad, you know, and I heard their arguments and everything. And Joshua is supporting the VRBO business. So my question to you is, as a city, you know, if you get on city council, is shouldn't the neighborhood have a right to say we don't want a motel in our neighborhood?
I would say that you have a right to a lot of things. There are ordinances that need to be enforced, and you have a right to complain. We are a complaint-based enforcement. Most cities are, most governments are. But there are ordinances for a reason, and we need to enforce that. There are bad actors. If someone is not complying with an ordinance that's already in place, a noise ordinance or disturbing the peace or doing different things like that, they're not being good neighbors, whether or not they're short-term, long-term, because long-term is just 30 days or more. So whether they're short-term, whether they're 29 days or 30 days, let's just talk about it like that. Well, they need to be good neighbors.
They need to be changed, too.
They need to be good neighbors. And I think that I also, other neighbors need to be good neighbors, whether if it's just a bunch of owners who there's no rentals on the street. We need to look at each other and say, hey, how can I be a good neighbor? I've heard horror stories between owners where you have
that
a really
be,
bad.
But see, that may be. But that's an owner who lives in that house. Like right. On our street, we chased out the druggies at the end of the street in the apartment house.
Right.
We chased out the squatters. Everybody, you know, we know each other on the street. We take care of that street. We got kids walking up and down that street. What gives the city the right to put a motel on my street or anybody's street without anything else except you've got to enforce it, Carl?
So here's where, by the way, why I called you is because.
And he's thinking whether that was a good idea or not.
Why I called you? No, I called you because I respect you so much, and I didn't want to be on the opposing side without you knowing that I really do understand your concerns. I've thought about this a lot. I moved to Reading because I stayed in an Airbnb my first time in Reading, and I decided to move here with my family. And the things that I'm investing here and the way that I want to contribute to this community is in some ways because that option was available. My family cannot travel using hotels. I can't. And so there are many people that travel this area that want to live where they vacation. That's why a lot of our retirees are here. They vacationed here for many years and then decided they want to retire here. I vacationed here, and I decided I wanted to move across the country to this beautiful city. And so Airbnb was the literal way that I was able to come here and visit. So I had a lot of experience. I've been using Airbnb for 15 years. I've been a host a few times, but mostly as a user. And most people that travel using Airbnb look and probably are a lot like me. There are some that aren't. And those are bad actors. Those are people that get poor ratings on Airbnb. Those are people that get the police call on them. But most of the police calls in our area, as you heard from the chief, were from the tenants themselves seeing
breaking into their cars.
Correct.
That's another problem.
Yeah, that's another problem. But I would say, you know, I don't want the government to infringe on property rights as much as possible. Once you give an inch there, it's really hard to pull back.
But you are infringing on my property rights.
Well, so here's the difference. So the reason why I don't believe it's a motel, one, you're not allowed to have more than one license, meaning you're not allowed to rent to more than one person at a time. You're not allowed to have more than one license per property. A hotel, you have multiple rooms per property. The other reason is that you're not changing the fundamental use of the property. If it's a salon, or if it's a real estate office, or if it's a massage parlor, you're changing the fundamental use of what that house was designed for and how it was zoned. If you're using it for an Airbnb so that a family like me can come in and stay the night next to you, it is a family that is looking to sleep, eat, cook, and enjoy the backyard. That is fundamentally the way that neighborhood was designed, is for people to eat, sleep, cook, and enjoy their yard. I'm not changing that. However, let's talk about business. So I have to have a business license as Shiloh Capital LLC, and we have a business license in the city of Reading. I can work from home. I do a lot of my business out of my house now, but I'm just a remote worker. Do I have 15 people showing up to my house because I work there? No. I work from my computer. I'm sending emails. I'm doing things like you do. I'm making phone calls. I imagine you work from your house at times, too, and you take phone calls.
No, I try never to do that. But here's the other part. Then if this is so innocuous, it's so calm and everything, why do you have to reveal to when you're getting ready to sell your house that you've got VRBOs on the street?
Well, I do think it's important for people to know, and I love that we have it. So, by the way, everyone.
I mean,
can
that's
go
like
to-
saying my house has. We have dry rot, and we have mold, and right over here is right next door, or right on the street over there is a place that plays loud music because it's a bar, and you have to tell prospective buyers these things. You have to tell them there's a VRBO there, and doesn't that can't that impact on the on your home's bottom line?
So as a realtor, I've only seen the impact be positive for Airbnbs and VRBOs, and here's why. When I'm going to sell a house that is typically in a neighborhood where people have had short-term rentals, usually they are renovated above standard. Usually they're renovated because the only way you get really good bookings on Airbnb, the data shows, it's proven, it's photos, 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 and it has to show very well. It cannot be run down. And so those people put in a ton of money to improve the property, which raises the property value of everyone in the neighborhood. It sets a new standard for quality. And I think that has a
big benefit. I don't know if that's totally true. If that was the case, why do a number of people that have VRBOs get out of the business and go back into long-term rentals?
I have a great answer for that. I actually have a lot of friends that are doing that. And this goes back to I find you to be a free market kind of guy, and I am too. And I like the market to correct itself, and I think I see that happening. There are some key indicators. I know several Airbnb people that live in the county who have Airbnbs, who have bought rental properties, and they had them as long-term rentals at one time and then went to short-term rental for a little bit. They're moving back to long-term rental right now. Why? Because increased supply, the price per night is going down, the cost of borrowing has gone up, and so right now it also is a lot more hassle to deal with, a short-term rental. So if we just let the market deal with itself, we're going to see these licenses start to dissipate, and it's going to average itself out a little bit. But I do think we can address the density, and there are some things that we can change in the ordinance.
It still goes back to if 20 houses on a street, 19 houses on the street don't want a VRBO, shouldn't they have something to say about it?
I absolutely think they should have something to say about it, but I don't think it's a vote. I do think that we have a process that's called a public hearing, which is Board of Administrator Review or Planning Commission, which actually is handling that now. And I think we can do a better job on density. But if you want to have a rental at your property, or if you want to do something on your property that is not changing the fundamental use or purpose of why that property was built, I don't want, because I don't like you, to be able to just stop you from doing what you want inside your
property. Oh, it's got nothing to do with like.
I know, but some people,
because I also respect you for what you stand for and things that you've done, Joshua.
Thank you.
My whole thing in our neighborhood is this. Single family neighborhood. Motel. And you can say, oh, that's not true. They can only have, one permit, but they
one
can have
can
eight
only
people. In there, they've got to have parking off the street, and if they park, and they can, from what I understand from Lily Toy, they can have three times the number of people there if they invite them over for a party.
So just so you know, in my house right now, I have eight people living in my house. Now, I have...
Is that your home?
That's my... But it's a home.
No, is that your home that you've got eight people living in?
It is my home, but I have guests that are staying for over 30 days in my guest unit.
It's your home and you're living there, though.
I understand, but it's not changing the number of people that could stay in my house. So there are rules around that. There are regulations about how many people per bed and then how many additional people beyond the bedrooms. And that we need to actually enforce, and that's the key, is we need to enforce. We need to make sure there aren't bad actors. And typically the people who are doing it illegally are the ones who have – likely the higher calls.
There's no background investigations. These people can come in for a week and cook their meth. They can be a consortium of sexual deviants, and nobody knows because you don't do background checks on them. You don't know who they are.
So Airbnb does a really, as a host, I've hosted before. I would encourage you to talk to some other hosts that are just like property owners like myself, not just managers. Airbnb does a great job of peer review that keeps – you have to get – I get to review the guest. And if I'm getting complaints from my neighbors or if I'm getting complaints – if I go back and they've damaged my property or it looks like they had a rager there, do you think I'm going to give them a 5-star? That happens a few times. Airbnb can kick them off the platform. And you're not required to take a guest just because they try and book on your property.
Yeah, but that happens on my street. By the way, yeah, we've gone over, but I'm going to give the last 2 minutes of this to you.
All right, thank you.
Because you're running for office.
Yeah. So one of the things I wanted to clear up is that Tuesday, August 2nd, the city council did not vote to enact the moratorium. They simply directed staff to draft language on an emergency ordinance placing temporary moratorium on all short-term rentals. So I wanted to clarify that. They are voting on that this Tuesday, the 16th, this coming Tuesday. So that's one thing that I think is really important. They have to have a 4/5 vote. And currently there are still applications being accepted, and actually as of 2 days ago, 13 new applications came forward. So that would put us up close to the 300 number citywide. I did a little bit of research on Gold Street and the area going from Locust up to South Street, from Market over to Athens, 500 approximate homes, 450 to 500 homes. 9 of the Airbnbs are hosted homestays, and 9 are vacation rentals. That's less than 2%. Citywide, we have 36,000 households, and with 300 applications, we have less than 1% are being used, and that includes hosted homestays. All I'm saying is I think that we can come up with a solution that's better than a moratorium right now that would allow for let you have more of a voice, Carl. But
well, it's not just me, though. I mean, other people showed up, too.
No, I mean, I mean you, but I also mean just neighbors to have more of a voice and to be a part of the process. But to be really kind of clear, what is our density that we'd like to see? There are other cities that set density limits. We could totally look at that. I think that's really viable. I just think that a moratorium sends the wrong message about us being business friendly and also helping families like myself find places to stay where a hotel doesn't actually meet the need. So I think that I would hope that they would come up with a solution that's different than a moratorium by Tuesday that would allow us to keep these open but still give you a voice.
Okay. Now, tell us about your campaign site.
Yeah, so joshforredding.com. There's a lot of info about what we're doing. You can follow me on Instagram. We're putting things out. I'm trying to be as connected as possible, doing some meet and greets and doing all the normal things. But joshforredding.com is a great place to follow. You can go on Facebook and look up Joshua Johnson for Redding City Council and on Instagram. So I would look forward to meeting you. You can message me. I'm very approachable. And Carl has my number, so if you know Carl, he can give it to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm writing it on every –
No. Thanks very much, Joshua.
Thanks a lot, Joshua. You've got some really good ideas.
Very candid
and
responses.
You know what? I think we can find something so that it works, because I don't want to see the short-term rentals go away. I just don't. But there are certain places that, you know, people are just not going to want them. In other places, they don't care.
Right.
I really think that. Before I would, you know, I'd want to canvass a neighborhood. So how do you feel about having one? You may have a neighborhood that, that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and those kind of things. And it is a viable business.
Yeah.
VRBOs are. And so I'm not going to argue that. And so I'm not going to take away either. So Joshua Johnson,
Joshforredding.com.
Joshforredding.com. Okay. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Carl.
We'll be right back after the remainder of the news.
KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
Western France. Local officials say that more than 26 square miles have been charred since Tuesday. News and analysis at townhall.com. San Francisco wins an opioid-related court battle with a big drugstore chain.
A federal judge has ruled that Walgreens can be held responsible for contributing to San Francisco's opioid crisis for over-dispensing opioids for years without proper oversight and failing to identify and report suspicious orders, which is required by law. The city of San Francisco says the pharmacy chain continually violated what they were required to do under the Federal Controlled Substances Act by failing to track opioid prescriptions and and failed to see the many red flags of physicians and others who were dramatically overprescribing. A U.S. district judge has ruled that for 15 years, Walgreens dispensed hundreds of thousands of pills, eventually contributing to the city's hospitals being overwhelmed with opioid patients. Walgreens said it will appeal the ruling, which it said was not supported by facts and law. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Dow is up 248 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio, with Trish Lark and Carl Bott.
As it's Thursday morning.
Yeah, and Liam's at the helm. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Okay, gosh, let me see. The news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion, community and courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Trisha's got the weather.
It's 68 degrees in downtown Reading. We're looking for a high today of 96, a low of 65 on Friday, a high of 98, and a low of 66 on Saturday, hot, 101. Saturday night, 68. Sunday, hot again, and 103, and just kind of going up from there. Sunday night, a low of 70. On Monday, 106. Tuesday, 107. And Wednesday, 106. So,
ooh.
Whoa, we're just going to have another scorcher week, but enjoy this balmy 96 today. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends, or it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer. They're locally veteran-owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call. 365-3793.
Okay. Well, it looks like it's going to be open line Thursday.
If you've got something that's on your mind, you can give us a call at 605-4567.
Yeah, I appreciate Joshua. He called me after, you know, he heard me at the city council, and I heard him, and he says, you know, there ought to be a way we can work this out. So, and maybe there is, you know, on this short-term rentals density, you know, so many, and a, you know, in a, you know, in a thousands,
and you know, and, you know, a lot of them are really good, and no, having stayed in a lot of them all over, you know, Europe is the big leader.
Yes,
in this.
I understand that,
but
when you
be a
have
problem.
To, when you have to reveal that to a, you know, to a prospective buyer, there's a reason for that, because people don't maybe want to be next door to a VRBO, because no matter how, you know, and if everybody was like Joshua and his family and you. and or me, I wouldn't be any problems. But they're not. And it takes a year to pull a license. I mean, you know, it's the whole thing is
if they're going to have them,
a neighborhood should have something to say about opening a business where you're bringing in strangers.
And they should use part of the money that they're making to enforce the ordinance. You, as the person living next door to it, should have to make one phone call to the city, and they should take care of the problem.
Yeah, because right now, it is, if you call the manager of the property, they have an hour. They've got to live within an hour of the place. So they could live, what, Corning? That's an hour away, isn't it? About that. So they could live in Red Bluff, on the other side of Red Bluff. And then, so you call them at midnight, and so they make a phone call, and it's still going on. You guys got to be quiet. And then you call them again, so now an hour later they show up. You know, that's, you know, yeah. No.
But you can have neighbors
like
that, too.
No.
So let's move on to
But you can have neighbors like that, but you can work on that problem.
Not necessarily.
We have so far.
Yeah.
Okay. Mar-a-Lago.
Oh, was that something?
I don't, you know what, if you wanted to light the fuse and explode something, you couldn't have done it any better than that. I mean, Hillary Clinton, that who had the servers at her house, all these other things that she did, was there, and we can't find anywhere that there was a raid by the FBI on her house.
They actually went to her house, asked to see her illegal email server, etc., the whole thing. She said, "Get out of here, I'm not speaking to you," slammed the door in their face, and they went away.
Well, see, there's, and so I look at it like that, and you know, and then you've got the January 6th, then you've got the New York trial, you know, about his, you know, his, on his taxes and things going on up there where he said, "I'm not going to talk to you people." He pleaded the fifth on that. And so that's a huge victory for the Democrats in their minds that, you know, so all three of these things are happening at one time. Now, I'm sure they
don't
weren't
orchestrated. Don't you wonder what they're trying to distract from? That they do this? Come on.
It's not even that. It's the fact that it's orchestrated, and because they are so afraid. I'm not saying I'd be happy if Trump became the Republican nominee.
Oh, I'd be delighted.
Well, I know you would.
The only one that
I don't know. I don't. I'm looking at Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, Christine Noem. All of those are strong conservatives. But
none of which would be able to withstand what they have put Donald Trump through for the last, what, 6 years, 7 years, 8 years now, and have found nothing, 0 point,
no,
nothing.
I'm not disagreeing with
that. Got to be the cleanest person in the world.
I am not disagreeing with that. But what I'm saying is this, is the fact that the Democrats are orchestrating this to destroy him so that he cannot run. And they're picking up anything. Oh, if he's got a classified document, then he can't hold office or run.
Which is wrong.
Well, you know, but Hillary Clinton, the head of the FBI, said, oh, no, what she did was wrong. But they're not. But they were not forwarding it for to the Attorney General's office. You remember what's his name? The how quickly we forget the head of the FBI back then.
Yeah, Comey.
What she did was, you know, and he said that.
But then he set Donald Trump up. Yeah. You know, Carl, the whole history. This is so hypocritical. There, you can talk forever and ever, and you can say, well, this and that and the other. They have absolutely no legal basis, in my mind, in my opinion, for going after Donald Trump yet another time on another blown, bogus thing that his attorneys were already working with them on these classified documents. There were some things. The Clintons, they carted out the furniture, the china, the collections.
That's totally
everything, documents, they took out everything under the sun.
You can't argue about that one because that's totally different. That is a totally different argument. The argument I'm saying is there were two things of, you know, to me, of the same exact transgression according to the government, and yet they were handled completely different. And that is – the idea is that the FBI of all organizations should be even-handed and non-political.
And they have been anything but forever.
Yesterday, a retired FBI officer came in here on his way to the gym because he was so angry – because we were talking about this. He was so angry. He said the rank and file FBI, they're in the throes of of despair because of what's happening at the highest echelons there. He says we have to work with people, and the only thing they look at us is that we are now we are a political action committee for the Democrats.
Well, of course they are, and when you look at the fact that they have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that they used an illegal document repeatedly to get FISA warrants to do things when they were doing the Russia probe, and we know that they used a document which they kept saying had been proven. The guy that wrote it said it had not been proven. They repeatedly, and Comey even admitted that he knew it was not a real document, and they have used that to get these FISA warrants. And now they turn around and they use an attorney who has such a storied history of connections and people and the things that this guy who signed this warrant has done, and how they can conceivably have any credibility by the American people. I don't care what party you are, what rock you've been living under, how you can possibly believe that the FBI, upper echelon, not the people working in the court, not the people that work here in Shasta County, FBI, they would be so embarrassed at this point.
Well,
they would be afraid to use their name. But the average citizen, if you have any credibility in the FBI, you need help.
This portion of the show brought to you by Minuteman Press. If you need something printed like business cards, invitations, how about shirts? How about a pop-up tent with your name on it and your business on it? Do yourself a favor and call Steve Clark over at Minuteman Press at 530-221-0400, 0400. They have done a bunch. Everything that I just mentioned, they've done for us, and we have a beautiful new pop-up with a backdrop on it and everything. I mean, if you don't know that we are KCNR, it's because your dog can't read.
Next time we do a remote, we're going to have cover?
It's going to have it up.
All right.
Well, unless it's raining, then I think we just need to be tough. Minuteman Press is located at 2900 Innsbruck Drive in Reading. Give them a call, 530-221-0400. We'll be right back.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
At Shasta Regional Medical Center, we're specialists in emergency care with the experience and training to deliver expert diagnosis and treatment to all emergency patients. Shasta Regional Medical Center is certified as an advanced primary stroke facility and is one of the nation's 50 top cardiovascular hospitals and is a fully accredited chest pain center. In an emergency when every minute has meaning and every second counts, choose Shasta Regional Medical Center, your choice for emergency care. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring for our community when minutes matter.
If you trust the government, if you believe the misinformation they're telling you is fact, you won't like our show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Hi, I'm your host, Doug Janke, and along with co-host Nick Gardner, we'll expose the dark side of governmental deception and misinformation from our local level, statewide, and to the national and world views.
On second thought, maybe the government believers should listen to the view of two middle-class, well-informed, working Americans.
Be sure to tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday right here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM, 8 to 9 every other Sunday morning.
And remember, you don't have to believe the artificial intelligence these people with college degrees are telling you, because sometimes they're misleading you. Listen to the other side of the news.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com, featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. You see what Liam's doing?
Yeah.
That was that mellow music.
He's trying to calm us down.
Trying to calm you.
Y'all were so heated up during the break. I was like, man, if I don't.
If I don't put some water on this fire.
I thought I'd lost a key. Have you ever done that where you thought you lost something and you just had it? And so then I'm tearing my bag apart going, okay, this is where I always put the key. It's not there. And so I went out to the car twice looking for it, thinking it dropped off on the floor and all this. Came back.
Key's right where it says.
No, it was in the wrong pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, I just dumped everything out, and it didn't come out. And I'm like, oh, man, I just – and then I found it, so I'm okay now.
All right.
So I'm not,
it's all good.
I'm not so
it's
stupid.
All good.
I'm not as stupid as I thought I was, which is kind of sometimes. Okay. Joe Biden said yesterday, President Biden said yesterday that, and he said it, inflation is 0%. And I thought, they must have taken that one out of context. But no, they didn't. He did say that. So for July, inflation held, inflation didn't increase, But if you look, I mean, what sane person would say something like that? Okay, 1 month. But if you look at the prices from a year ago to today, it's like 9%.
Exactly.
And then gas has gone down. Yes, thank goodness. Gas is
mostly
starting to go down.
Mostly because people are not driving because they can't afford to go from here to there.
That was the big thing. They couldn't, so they use less gas, you know. So anyway, it's the food. It's the food that really concerns me. Those prices have gone up 13% in a year, 13 to 15%, in some cases up to 30%.
And
that's food.
And it's only going to get worse because, as an example, things like beef and those things, the price of beef right now is sky high. But I know, and I'm sure you read about it across the United States, where so many people are butchering because they can't afford to feed the hay. They haven't got the hay. They haven't got the alfalfa. They can't afford to feed the cattle. So they're butchering. They're putting in cold storage. You won't even believe what you're going to pay for beef next year.
Well, I have friends that have. They don't have a big herd by any means, but they sell probably 10 to 12 cattle a year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I said, prices? He goes, oh, yeah, they're good. And he nodded his head. He's kind of like understated.
Yeah.
So I kind of figured, you know, it's well over probably $1,200 for a cow.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I would imagine that's a finished one that's had, you know, they've put on feed or something like that, but maybe not. The other things about it are that the water problems, one of the problems about like raising beef or sheep, but beef is you have to feed them. Mm-hmm. Well, you counted on having three cuttings of hay a year. Well, because of the water, you get one cutting, which means you have to go out and start looking for hay.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, and the price goes way up. And there are certain areas of the country you can't buy that hay because of insects and things like that so you can't bring it here because, you know.
Importing into the state of California has all kinds of issues.
Right.
For all
and
of our cattle.
And then the pork, that pork law that we made where 70% of the producers aren't doing that.
Yeah.
So what happens then
they
to the pork?
They can't import into the state of California.
That's right.
Well, and not only that, just the everyday foods of everything you're looking at. You go to the grocery store to purchase eggs, butter, any of those kinds of products, they're way high. The other thing people don't realize, you know, part of this in my mind is the green thing. They're trying to get us to stop eating beef and to eat phony beef. What they don't realize is that the byproducts from beef are like they use every bit of the products from a cow.
No, I know.
And so
everything down to the hooves.
Yeah, you got it. And so you're talking about all kinds of products, cleaning products, nail polish, cosmetics, clothing, everything that is used by the beef industry, the beef byproducts. I mean, the list that the Shasta County cattlewomen have is extensive of all the things that we use with beef products. So we may be going to eat a phony hamburger, but what are you going to do for all the other stuff that comes from raising beef? You're not going to be able to function.
Well, I put myself through college, and some people know this, maybe they don't, but I worked in slaughterhouses. And believe it or not, San Francisco, California had a huge one there on the bay. And then in Arizona and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you, they used everything, including the blood.
Oh, everything.
They would store the blood because they could use that in fertilizer and other products. But that's not the point. The point is not that anything's being wasted, as it is that it's not going to be there. Because I've seen it when the pork prices went down, and this was decades ago when I worked there. And we saw all the breeding sows were coming through the kill line. I mean, just hundreds of them, which meant there wasn't going to be the next year. So when they start selling this off, it just makes it worse. Rice farmers, and, you know, say whatever you want. Oh, they get subsidies. That's not the point. The point is if they're not growing rice, it's next year that we're really, really going to start seeing things that are going to be so expensive. Robert, good morning.
It's Roberta.
Oh, Roberta.
It's Roberta.
I'm sorry, I didn't see the A.
Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning, everybody. Well, on a local level, I have a friend in Churn Creek Bottom. They have a couple of hundred acres down there that they have leased out for cattle, and they just lost their renter because he can't afford the expenses for the cattle, and so he's had to sell them off at much less than he could have. The big reason he's had to leave is because of the water.
Exactly.
They don't have the water down there to support the stock.
Well, anything, because, and I know you listen to our show, Roberta. I don't know if you heard Ted Ogilvy from Diving Core Drilling come in on that Monday morning and talk about the problems in Churn Creek Bottom. They are running out of water because the acid canal was not filled, and that's what recharges their groundwater. So now they're having to drill wells another 50, 60 feet.
The problem is, Carl, is they can't extend their wells. They have to drill new wells.
Absolutely, because they're old wells, and they can't go through them. So they've got to go over and find another spot and start drilling right then.
Drill a well, you're talking, the last time I talked to one of the drillers, you're looking 60 to 90 days out to drill a new well.
Oh, no, it could be even longer than that now. He's a year out right now, and he said that you might be able to find them sooner, but they're working 6 days a week out there. Yeah, that's a really good point, Roberta. Thank you so much.
Well, that affects our local beef.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be ridiculous. As I indicated earlier, I have several friends who literally are doing cold storage. They're butchering, you know, maybe they only have 50 head, maybe they only have whatever, but they're going to butcher, wrap, store, and next year they're going to make a lot of money off that beef.
You bet. Okay, guys, keep it up.
Thank you.
Love it. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about IRS is advertising for positions. I just like to talk about some of the positions that they're advertising for. But this portion of the show is brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash. Yes, it's one of my favorite places. These people have owned this property for like 100 years. I'm sure they weren't washing cars 100 years ago, but who knows? Maybe they were. But if you're looking for a great car wash, takes you just 5 minutes, go to Quick and Clean Car Wash. Your car or truck comes out looking great. The people there are real friendly. They wipe it down with clean towels at the end so you're not spotted or anything. And if you buy 5 car wash coupons, you get 1 free. Or you buy 10, you get 10 or get 3 free at Quick and Clean Car Wash. It's on the corner of Market and Eureka Way, right next to Dutch Bros. Quick and Clean Car Wash. We'll be right back.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
What does great pizza and ice-cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous sundial steak salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and mobile catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Kids are back in school, and Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive knows that crowded parking lots can lead to fender benders, door dings, dents, and scratches. Mako Collision Repair and Auto Painting Center at 3045 Crossroads Drive has you covered. Mako offers free estimates. works with most major insurance companies, and pricing is about 30% less than the national average. Uh-oh, better call Mako at 530-226-0992. That's 530-226-0992.
Welcome back to the calming music of Free Fire Radio. Everybody take a deep breath, Trish, and in through your nose, out through your mouth. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry. You could do this. You could do this advertisement. You love it.
Girl. I love Four Winds Jewelers. They are the only full service jewelry store in Reading. Clock repair, beautiful estate jewelry. Make your rings. Go in there.
We had our wedding rings made there.
Well, you know, and
we're still married.
You can have them repair jewelry. They'll clean it up for you. A beautiful collection of turquoise. And the most important part is that you can trust them. They're been here for a long time. You have good jewelry. You want to be able to take it to a place that you know you can trust the service. Certainly, Four Winds Jewelry is located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Go in and give them a call. You don't have to wait for somebody to buy something nice for you. Treat yourself.
There you go. Okay, if you're looking for a job, the IRS is hiring new special agents. Requirements include working a minimum of 50 hours per week, which may include your regular hours, and be on call 24/7, including holidays and weekends, and carry a firearm and be willing to use deadly force if necessary. Now, when that hit, when people looked at that, IRS went back in there and took out carry a firearm but be willing to use deadly force. It disappeared.
Except that it's still part of their job.
Oh, it is.
It's just not advertising it.
Now, again, we go back that they reiterated from the White House that, the intent of this is not to go after people doing making $400,000 or less, or $399,000. It's for people making $400,000 or more. But the magic word in there, my friends, is intent. Intent. I intended to be a billionaire by now. It didn't work out, but that was my intention. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wanted to be, my intent was to be the commandant of the Marine Corps. That's not a billionaire job, but it's a pretty good job. The intent of this law is to go after people $400,000 or more. But let me ask you a question. Say you got a letter from the IRS that we've looked at your tax returns and you owe us $240 more. You make $80,000 a year. I owe how much? $250 more. Well, can I pay this? Yeah, we're going to let you pay this over a period of 3 months. Okay, so you just got $250 from somebody making $80,000 a year. People making $75,000 or less a year, they're going to be hit by it, and they're going to hit them with hundreds, 400s, 500s, 1,000 as you go up, you know, and that we've been finding this. And when you start adding it all up, because it's cheaper just to give them the money, because maybe you didn't know that new tax rule.
And they're going to go after the low-hanging fruit. They're not going to go after the billionaires that have got the tax accountants and lawyers by the thousands. Just to put it all in context, you have to go back and remember. See, we have a short memory as Americans. We have things that happened during one administration, and we forget that happened. So all during the Obama administration, I remember following that they purchased a ton of guns. Every time they turned around, they were purchasing weapons. And we kept asking, exactly what are they purchasing all those weapons for? And on a regular basis, they purchase ammo. A lot of ammo that the military is not necessarily using.
700,000 just for the IRS in a period of 3 months.
Okay.
$700,000 worth of ammunition for the IRS in 3 months.
And so you take these combinations, and now they're going to hire this whole bunch of, and there's a lot in this new legislation that they're just getting ready to put into effect, that for how many IRS agents, and the IRS agents are not the only ones that are armed. There's a whole bunch of other people that were put and able to be armed under the Obama administration. And in the Obamacare bill, there was language concerning some kind of another army, and it's not completely clicking, but the point is, we really need to pay attention to what in the world's going on in this country
sure.
right now.
I'm pleading ignorance on this one, which is easy for me. But having special agents that are armed to do raids, because that's essentially what it is. You heard what it said. 24 hours a day, weekend, regular. The intention is for raids and be willing to use deadly force. I didn't realize is that the IRS conducts raids in areas where they have to be armed and coming in there heavy to do, is it probably seize tax records or something like this?
Where they think they're going to be destroyed.
Or they're going to be, you know, are they going to be attacked, you know, while they're doing it? But it seems like to me is that if that was the case, because really their whole thing is to go through those records, find out if there's been cheating and all of this or evasion or whatever. But is it worth somebody's life? I guess if you're going in after somebody that's heavy into drugs and it's a cartel type thing, you might need that. But why? I mean, it seems to me is that you would use the U.S. Marshals to come in who are trained to do that and be there as your muscle.
Certainly calls into question a lot of the
I'm just wondering why we need to do that. Nick, what say you, Nick?
Well, I just turned on the program getting home here, and you were talking about intent.
Yeah.
And I intended to go on the archives here and listen to Kevin Cry's show, and I can't find it. So I'm wondering if you intend to get that on there so we can watch it.
Should be up today or tomorrow at the latest.
Right.
I sent it out to my people.
Oh, that's good. Because
they've been saved. We have all the shows. It's just we got to put them on the page.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Nick, because I intended to watch that last night, as a matter of fact, or listen to it. And could not locate it.
Don't worry. They will be up today or tomorrow.
I can sleep easy tonight. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks, Nick.
Thank you. Thanks for following up your phone call, your numerous phone calls, Nick. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you already mentioned that, didn't
you? Well, we just mentioned it, yes. Okay. And I've gone to my guys are pretty, pretty responsive about getting that up. And Kevin's show is for a month. Goes till August. He wants to continue the show, but due to FCC regulations, and the FCC just called me back yesterday, and I'm going to get ready to call Kevin. There is such a mess. They said if somebody else wants to have a show, you've got to be, you know, you've got to offer them that too.
Yeah.
But he said, but you know, Kevin's paying for the show, and I have offered this out if some, you know, if another organization, but it stops 60 days out because then it becomes so convoluted.
60 days before the election.
Before the election, so his last show will be the end of this month, and he'll pick it up again after the election. I've listened to Kevin's show, and it's a good show.
And I just to point out that the one I wanted to watch that he evidently had Chris Kellstrom and Barron Brown in on the same show, and I think that would be – it didn't happen.
I don't think Barron – Liam, were you there for the show?
Yeah, I forget who it was, but they were called to like a fire or something.
Oh, so Barron has been – that's one of the businesses that he has. That is
security at these fires.
Security at the fire,
which,
yeah.
By the way, the McKinney fire containment has reached 75%.
Yeah.
Do you realize that –
the other one exploding, is the Six Rivers fire that is going crazy with that complex fire.
Where's that at?
Six Rivers is over like a Trinity County.
Okay. Yes. You know, knock on wood here, but you know, I was talking to somebody from the East Coast, and they said, "Where are you from?" I said, "We're from FCC." He says, "Where are you located?" I said, "Redding, California," and he had no idea where that was at. I said, "We're like an hour south of Mount Shasta. We just heard of Mount Shasta and all that." And I said, "Just you know, walk outside your door and look west." And look for the clouds, look for the smoke clouds. And he laughed, but I said, "We're blessed so far. Here we are in August,
yeah.
Knock on wood, that we've had the McKinney fire and
Keep
the Six Rivers
being
fire.
Being careful.
Yeah.
My son is actually a strike team leader over on that fire right now.
Over in Six Rivers.
Rivers, yeah.
You know, here's, you know, I was told by a forestry expert from Sierra Pacific, it's got to be 12 years ago now, right after we started the station. And we did a tour through there. And she said that fires now, because of all the undergrowth and the tinder, she says, we can no longer fight the fires like we used to. And put up a cut a fire break. She says, and this was 12 years ago, we have to go like three ridges over. Mm-hmm. She says, we have got to really get into fighting it from the air and trying to slow it down from the air, you know, with the big tankers, trying to knock it down, give the people that are building these fire lines a chance to do that.
What we need to do is start spending money during the winter months to start cleaning up our forests and our national lands. We just simply have got to stop just spending all of our money putting out fires. We've got to start managing our public lands again.
Absolutely. But that's something that everybody's been agreeing on. It's another one of those political things.
Exactly.
People have been agreeing on that for years. And finally, after the car fire, you thought, yes, finally.
Yeah, well, look around.
You are starting to see on private lands that they're taking down the burnt trees, at least the burnt trees, and trying to salvage that. But because once they, once they hit the ground, and they will, you've got more fire.
There you go.
This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, a veteran-owned business where I've had my haircut since I moved here to Reading. Never had a bad haircut there. The people are pleasant. You don't get into political discussions there. I know, believe it or not, a barbershop with no political discussions, they don't do that. They cut your hair. You want to talk about sports. You want to talk about golf. You want to talk about anything except politics. You can do that there with Tim and Logan. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. They work by appointments only. Give them a call at 530-244-9478. They are right off of Athens Avenue, right across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. Great little deli. It has great food there. We'll be right back.
Hey Jude, don't make it bad. Take a sad song and make it better. Remember to let her into your heart. Then you can start.
KCNR 96.5 FM. AM 1460 and online at KCNR1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bach. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday nights, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at KCNR1460.com.
Our summer tribute lineup will keep you cool all summer long with live music inside the Wind River Resort and Casino Event Center. From rock and roll classics to country to today's pop charts. Tickets are just $15 each, plus fees. Purchase your tickets now at the River Club, WindRiver.com, or through our Wind River app. Must be 21 to attend. Find your moment at Wind River Resort and Casino.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Reading on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price, and after a few months, realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Trish Clark and Carl Bott. Let's talk acid canal.
Well, you know.
Oh, wait a minute. First, for people that want to listen to the Kevin Cry, we've just put a link to his archives on our chat room. And then we'll get it. They'll be up today on the webpage. So, but if you're looking, Nick, if you're on there, there you go. Start. You can start listening.
Okay. Just things happening as a result of the whole thing with the ACID canal and the lack of water in it and the fire parts that have gone with that. One of the things that City of Anderson has really worked for in the Anderson Fire Protection District is to clean up those areas with a great enforcement effort within our jurisdiction, within the City of Anderson, to make people keep their properties clear, the clearances and everything. The problems that we have are that we bump up against county property in different areas and other areas that do not have the strict abatement ability that we have. As a result of this ACID thing, we've reached an agreement not only with ACID, where they have starting with their ditch at the beginning. They've put out a contract for clearing all of that debris and grass around the ditch, and they're going to be going for a great stretch there right now, and they're doing it.
Good.
All around the Anderson High School District properties, mm-hmm. which those of us that live down in the South County know that's the big hill, all of the stuff between that and the grade school, they are doing an incredible job cleaning all that up. So the fire safety that's been brought to the attention as a result of this is being addressed down in that area that ACID serves, and we're hopeful that the county is going to follow suit and start carrying that out into the rest of the ACID area and start cleaning up that properties. While we're lacking the water, this is where we need to go with our direction. Rather than let it burn off, let's go clean it up.
Yeah, that's a good idea because, you know, once it starts, you know what happens once it starts.
Yeah.
As somebody said in the chat room, why don't you start your own HOA, Carl? And, yes, you know what? I looked at that, and they do not make it easy. Our HOA would only have one rule for our neighborhood, and no money. Nobody has to pay any money or anything. It would be no rental for less than 6 months. That would be it. If it's 6 months and over, okay. But
probably can't make that retroactive.
You can't make it retroactive. Well, you can't. But then the next time that comes up for in 1 year from then, you know, when they come up to redo their licenses, they couldn't do it. So anyway, enough of that. The other things that are going on. Up to 11 people.
For the city council, and I don't know what's happening with the Anderson City Council because there's some seats there as well. Board of Supervisors elections are starting to heat up again. You've got the District 1 and the District 5 race.
Yeah.
You've got Baron Browning and Chris Kelstrom running off in District 5, and that's going to be a very competitive race. And then you've got Kevin Cry and Aaron Reisner running for the District 1. Both of those are important seats, and I don't want everybody to relax now and stop talking. You can't vote.
I can't vote in either one of those.
I know.
I used to be able to, but not anymore. Tim Garman, watch out. If I get bored, I live in the second district. Yeah.
And he doesn't.
And you don't. Yeah, Tim, and you don't. Hey,
I, you know.
Okay, now, what I've noticed so far, is the 5th District. They've been kind of sticking to the topics.
They're sticking to the issues.
They're not going after each other in a, you know, a venal way.
Well, and I certainly from, and I think everybody's aware that I'm supporting Barron Browning, and I've had a lot of history with him as, on the city council, as a part of the community of Anderson. And I would say that the 5th District is in good shape because we have two qualified candidates. Right.
That's what I've seen.
I think so. And I certainly have my favorite, but I'm not, you know, they're not going to get into a mudslinging. As far as I can tell, it's a clean race and I appreciate that.
Whoever wins.
But get involved. Yeah. Don't sit on the sidelines and say it doesn't matter. If you're in the 5th District, check out those candidates, pick the one you want, and then be sure and get out and vote.
Go to the forum.
Let's have a 80-90% turnout in the 5th District and show them how it's done.
In the 1st District, I hope that we're not going to start seeing things where it becomes more personal attacks, but it's kind of, I'm not sure that's going to happen because both sides are angry. The lady that ran and then dropped out,
Kimberly Vollmer.
Kimberly Vollmer, who's going to be a candidate for city council.
She dropped out because she had not anticipated the cost for an election at the Board of Supervisors level. And I think she's a new candidate.
It shouldn't be that expensive.
It shouldn't be, but it is.
It should not be that expensive. However, we love it here in the radio business.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah, it should not be. I will tell you, it's changed.
Go call Rivers again.
Rivers is not putting any more money in Shasta County.
That's what I heard.
Thank the Lord.
That's what I heard. Because it doesn't even make any difference what side you're on. If Rivers could just give money to anybody and it irritates them.
It does, and it shouldn't because certainly
well,
his money
should,
is as good
it
as anybody
in
else.
Some ways.
And he did have a dog in the fight. So you can say he did not have a dog in the fight.
He did.
But he most certainly did.
His disdain for Leonard Mody was, I mean,
it became
personal between those two.
Absolutely.
10 years ago.
A long
anyway,
time. Yeah.
Moving on from that, I didn't ask Joshua, but I will next time around. What's your thoughts on the casino? Because that's going to be a big thing. People are putting money in at the Board of Supervisors, but also I'm sure you're going to see Reading Rancheria, Sierra Pacific. That's really big in the city council to find out what people are, how they would vote for that.
But the reality is they don't get
the
vote.
It doesn't make
any difference. They don't have a dog in the fight because if they decide to build that casino, it doesn't make any difference what the Reading City Council or the Board of Supervisors want to do. They're going to build that casino.
If they're given the permission by the Bureau of Interior.
The Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Indian Affairs.
Yeah.
So, but what then happens is then there is negotiating there, as, Johnson pointed out with the civic area down there. There's negotiation with the Reading Rancheria, too, when it talks to if they want to say Reading Rancheria wants the city to come out to them so they can get city water, city electricity, all that stuff.
And then there's issues with the county because if, in fact, the city of Reading is going to extend service to the Reading Rancheria, they have a policy that they do not extend services as a general rule, outside their city limits. So now you're talking an annexation process of annexing that land from the county into the city of Reading. So are the local governments involved? Most certainly. And the impact on county government and city government because of the issues that come when you get that many people, I don't care whether they're it's an Indian casino or what it is. There are law enforcement issues.
Or
there
a
are,
campus.
It doesn't matter. There are law enforcement issues. There are welfare issues. There are all kinds of issues that impact county government that they need to be reimbursed for when something that large comes in.
Absolutely. Law enforcement, everything.
Exactly.
So,
health and human services, medical, all kinds of things that have to do. And in the city of Reading, you've got the electricity, you've got the water, all kinds of things that need to be.
Well, in any case, it'll be an interesting election come November. and the lead up to it. It's going to be really interesting.
And I hope people are not getting bored and, okay, now the bulk of the offices are taken care of. Because who serves on our city councils and who serves not only in the city of Reading but in the city of Anderson, city of Shasta Lake? Those are important positions. They make a big difference. You've got school board elections coming up. All of those things, pay attention in your communities. It makes a difference who these people are that are serving on these boards.
I just got an email from somebody that's running for the school board and challenging all the opponents to a forum.
As well they should.
And they should go out there because, you know, the school boards, as we have has been pointed out ad nauseum at this point, but people are still learning it, is our county office of education has no control over the schools, what they teach there.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody. Have a great day. It's going to be,